is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. Russia's state news agency has just reported that North Korean leader Kim Jong-un's train has crossed into Russia ahead of a meeting with President Vladimir Putin. It could mean extreme consequences for Ukraine. Fordham University professor, former CBS News Moscow bureau chief, Beth Noble.
Both of these countries have things that the other needs badly. Russia needs more weapons for its war in Ukraine, and North Korea has lots of ammunition and artillery to sell. U.S. intelligence reports say the North Koreans have millions of artillery shells and rockets available. And because they're based on old Soviet designs, those North Korean munitions would be easy for the Russians to use.
The U.S. is close to a deal to bring home five Americans being held in Iran in exchange for unfreezing $6 billion in Iranian assets. Reportedly for humanitarian purposes, CBS's Margaret Brennan.
The deal is moving on track with a mid-September timeline that Biden officials set, which may coincide with the upcoming visit of Iran's president to New York for the upcoming UN General Assembly.
22 years after 9/11, President Biden's message to the country is about lessons learned moving forward.
This day reminds us we must never lose that sense of national unity. So let that be the common cause of our time. Let us honor September 11th by renewing our faith in one another.
Pennsylvania police say they've expanded the search area for Danilo Cavalcante, who escaped from a prison outside Philadelphia about 2 weeks ago. KYW-TV's Nikki Dementri reports that he was seen on security video over the weekend and disappeared again.
Cavalcante was said to have tried to speak with two different acquaintances. One of those acquaintances, they actually had a conversation over a Ring doorbell. Police are not saying exactly what was said during that conversation. They're keeping that video right now out of the public eye, but those new surveillance photos are from that video.
There's a $25,000 reward for information leading to his arrest. Amazon's new guidelines for its Kindle Direct publishing now require publishers to tell readers when content is even partially generated by artificial intelligence. CBS News tech contributor Ian Scher.
There have been many instances where people have found AI created books or art or music sitting on the internet and for sale even on Amazon.
Tonight's marquee Monday Night Football matchup lost its star attraction early on. New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers out with an ankle injury. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The vet.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine. Rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Direct from the Dairy State, it's Sharp Cheddar Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. You can enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn thing. Sharp Cheddar Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. station. Saturdays and Sundays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays and Sundays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers. Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you're drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is not Kristen Bry in your ears and on your live streams. I am guest host Joe Zepecki, sitting in for our friend Kristen. Big Monday show. We have Jane back on the board. We're going to hear all about her world travels. But of course, we have to start today, September 11th, 2023, remembering September 11th, 2001. This morning, President Biden putting out a remembrance saying this is President Joe Biden. Today, we remember the 2,977 precious lives stolen from us on 9/11 and reflect on all that was lost in the fire and ash that September morning. The American story itself changed on this day 22 years ago, but what could not and will not change is the character of this nation. If there is a first responder in your life, if there is a service member, past or present or future in your life, show them your gratitude today. Take a few moments to think about those who lost loved ones, those who are still grappling with some of the long-term effects, those who are on the pile, have some of the worst incidences and case rates of very serious medical issues. 22 years later, the suffering from that day continues. And so we have everyone who was touched by that tragedy in our hearts today. We're going to get into some football. It was week one for the Packers.
And they won.
And they won. Great start to the Jordan Love era. We are going to talk about, I guess this is week two of impeachment insanity here in Wisconsin. We're going to dedicate most of the second hour to that. But first and foremost, we got to start Jane Matinair back on the board, world traveler. Jane, how was your trip?
The trip was really, really good, Joe.
That's great. So walk us through it. So you were gone for 2 weeks.
We were.
Where all did you go?
We went to London for 3 days was the plan. And I just want to say, starting out, this is the first trip that we've been on since 2019. So I haven't been on a plane since then. They've shrunk the seats again. They have. It's so, oh my God, I couldn't believe how tiny the seats were in economy.
And that's a long flight. How long was it?
Well, this is another complaint I have. It used to take 6 hours to fly from O'Hare to London.
Okay.
This time it was 7.5 hours.
Headwinds, or they take a different route? What do we?
Yeah, we stopped in China first. No, it's. I think they're flying slower to conserve fuel. And our 7.5 hour flight actually turned into 9 hours.
Oh my God!
Because, and the cabin crew was very specific about blaming the ground crew for not having loaded whatever cargo was supposed to be on this flight. So yeah, so we sat there for an hour and about an hour and 15 minutes while they were getting loaded up, And it turned into like 9 hours.
Oh my gosh. And this was only the first travel hiccup.
This is the first leg. This is just the first leg.
Out of the gates, we've got a little hiccup.
Yeah. And I don't know how you feel about this with flying, but I think reclining your seat the entire way is a violation of humanity.
Oh, it's like, yeah, no, it's like a war crime.
It is. And so the woman in front of me reclined all the way back. So my nose was like 6 inches from my screen.
No.
Yeah. And when we were in London, we were on a bus one day, and this woman was there with her three little boys, 10 and 7 and maybe a 2-year-old who was in a little push thing. And he really wanted to get up. And she didn't want him to get out because there were only a few stops, whatever. So he pitched a fit like I haven't seen in a line. He's right in front of us. And at one point, Joe, in between the crying and the screaming, he would throw his blanket over his face and just go,
Those deep wails.
Oh, it was just so dramatic. Oh, that's how I felt on that flight. I want to get up. I have to get out of here. Get me off this plane.
But you did get off the plane.
We did get off the plane.
You made it.
Got to London. Love London. We've been there many times. My husband is English.
I have not. What are the first three things we should do when we
go? Oh, I love Covent Garden.
Okay.
They have buskers. Some are really good. Some aren't okay, but that's a whole different art form that I have a whole bunch of respect for.
Uh-huh.
And the crowd work that they do, it's a different form of stand-up.
Okay.
Essentially. So we go to Covent Garden. We went to a museum. You have to, it's like required.
Got
to
be cultural.
Yeah, you have to do some culture things. And we went to Chinatown, which we always do for Crispy Duck. And you should see Buckingham Palace.
Okay.
And also the Tower of London tour is wonderful.
Yeah.
So I would suggest for sure those couple things.
Okay. We recently took the fam to San Francisco for sort of a long weekend.
And oh, nice.
Did the Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz and Coit Tower, which was great. It's sort of a overlook bought down by the wharf. It was a nice little trip.
I bet.
Of course, Chinatown in San Francisco. But the nerd in me emerges when I tell you my most favorite part of that trip was spending some time in the famous City Lights bookstore. And then later on that day, while everybody else went thrifting in the Haight-Ashbury neighborhood.
Oh, how fun.
I went and sat at a local pub, had a glass of whiskey, and read my book.
That's pretty high up there on the nerd scale.
I am who I am.
Embrace it. You just got to embrace it, Joe. I think that's great.
So you did London.
We did London, and then we were supposed to fly to Croatia. We were going to...
Supposed to,
yes. Didn't make it to Croatia the day that we were supposed to leave. We're at Gatwick Airport, and there was a countrywide air traffic controller software meltdown, so they canceled 2,000 flights.
Did they try unplugging the computer and plugging it back in?
You would think they would reboot.
God.
It was a mess because there was no communication for what was happening. You know, your flight's up on the board and you're waiting for the gate number, and the gate number came up, and all of a sudden it said boarding. Well, how can it be boarding? No one knows what gate we're supposed to be at.
So after
about 5 hours, we finally found out that our flight got canceled. You have to go back through passport control, collect your luggage, and we went back to London for another 3 days because the next day they canceled 1,700 flights.
Oh, my God.
And then the next day was Wednesday. That would have left us to spend the night and then to fly back.
So there's a silver lining here, though. So we had a bad delay, like a 21-hour delay
coming back
from San Francisco. But it was one of those where it was like, your flight's been delayed right out of the gate, like first thing in the morning. But it wasn't enough time to like actually go and do anything.
Oh, that's awful.
Knowing that it was just like, okay, this is melting down. We're going to stay here. At least you could sort of plan and have a couple extra days.
Yeah.
In London.
No, it was great. And the people watching in London is fantastic. I don't know what it is about that city, but it's so international. You hear different accents and different languages everywhere you go. And it's just a wonderful people watching city.
One of the true global cities.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And then so after 3 extra days in London, we went to Portugal. We went to the Algarve. which is the southern coast of Portugal, and spent 9 nights there. The weather was lovely. It was like mid to low 70s. A little rain, that was okay, but not brutally hot. It had been well into the 90s in the weeks leading up to us getting there, so I was kind of glad we avoided that.
And is that, so go for 9 days to just kind of do nothing, or is it excursions and day trips? And
we did a bunch of day trips. There were a bunch of towns along the coast that we had wanted to check out and see. And it was that our the first part of our trip is usually the educational portion.
Okay.
And then we become slugs. And so there was a lot of eating and drinking, and I made a breakthrough with fish. I don't like fish.
Now you do? We have
and
a convert?
We had some, it was supposed to be the best fish fry in Lagos, called Old Bastards was the name of the restaurant. And we had hake.
Okay.
Which is a white fish. It's a white fish, like a cod.
What I want to ask, but it sounds like maybe you're not experienced enough to answer, is like, how does a Portugal fish fry compare to, say, a Wisconsin Supper Club fish fry?
I would say the fish is much bigger.
Okay. Bigger there?
Bigger there.
Okay.
That was one big piece of fish. And the breading is a little bit different.
Okay.
Not better or worse. Just
different.
Just different, okay. You know? And they also serve, which I think is disgusting, they're called mushy peas. This is a traditional English thing.
Like they mash them?
Yeah, but these were kind of like pureed. Ooh. So it looks like bad guacamole.
Oh, no.
And tastes like peas, which, again, that's a very traditional.
Oh, no.
I know. It's a very English thing. But anyway.
And any problems coming back from the trip, or did that all go off as planned?
Actually, that went smoothly.
That's great. So if I had to pick, right, like, are you going to be inconvenienced traveling to a place or back from place? I think to a place would be my pick.
Yeah.
Because what can happen is you sort of, if like you're frustrated coming home, like we had the long delay on our last trip, it sort of takes some of the good that you got out of the trip.
For sure.
Because you're just frustrated when you get home.
Yeah. So. No, I think you're right. I think it's better to have it, unless you're missing another flight.
Well, right.
Yeah. And actually on Aer Lingus, that was the best meal I've ever had on a plane.
What was it?
It
wasn't mashed peas. It wasn't mushy peas.
It was not mushy peas. It was a steak stew.
Wow.
It was just fantastic.
So the size of the seats has shrunk, but perhaps the quality of the meals has improved.
It depends on the airline.
Ah, okay.
Aer Lingus, though, I'm a big fan. I'm a big fan of Aer Lingus.
All right. Well, we are so glad to have you back.
Thank you so much. Thank you to Greg for covering me while I was gone.
Wonderful that you got to do that before you're going to be in the big chair for a little while.
Couple months.
Here on As Goes Wisconsin. As you can tell, this is not Kristen. I am sitting in for Kristen today. I am Joe Zepecki. She is Jane Mattenair. Stay with us. Come on back. We're going to talk about the weekend that was and the kickoff of the football season. See you on the other side.
Did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective, the fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a serial strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. school sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic Sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight with a low of 50. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 67 tomorrow. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Mainly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers, 46. Chance for scattered showers, Wednesday, with highs in the mid-60s. Mainly clear, Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for keeping us all informed. I mean, this is outrageous. It's pathetic. It's sick. And, you know, where are the people that are supposed to be protecting the rights of the people in our state? I mean, this is ludicrous. These people should be all locked up. They're abusing power, wasting taxpayer dollars, wasting taxpayer time. I mean, they're a bunch of criminals. It just, you know, I call them, chew them out as an old woman, chew them out so I don't scare them like I'm going to come and get them or something. But God darn it, this is outrageous, Matt. And I don't know who can protect us or who can represent us, but I hope there's somebody out there that can, because this is just criminal beyond the pale. They cheat when they lose, and when they lose, they cheat, and they abuse their power, and they think that they're just, I mean, and they're not held accountable. I don't get it, Matt. Anyway, sorry, but right. Thank you so much. This is just outrageous. I'm fuming, Matt. I'm fuming. Thank you. Keep up the great work and for me, everybody. Right. Thanks
a lot, Gene. Yeah, I mean, let's just put this in the perspective. They have the appearance of law in Russia. There'll be a, quote, trial, end quote, for Brittany Griner, Paul Whelan. Then there'll be a, quote, appeal. It's all fake. It's all fake. Well, American law, U.S. law, Wisconsin law is not a fake, and it shouldn't be a fake. Wisconsin has an unusual impeachment statute. It says the legislature can impeach, the Senate by 2/3 can convict, if it can convict. And at the minute the individual is impeached, they have to step down. That's what it says. That's not true in federal impeachment law. When Trump was impeached twice, he didn't step down. He wouldn't have had to step down until he had been convicted in the Senate. That's the way it normally works. So why does the Wisconsin statute demand the step down? Because it's such a restrictive impeachment right that it almost can't be exercised unless somebody's caught red-handed committing a crime or doing something corrupt in office. And it also contemplates that you have an honest Senate who would then immediately take it up to see if it was sufficient to convict. Here, they're playing Putin law. They're taking a severely restrictive, very restrictive impeachment right, which is limited to two things: commission of a crime or corruption in office, not corruption before office or out of office, corruption in office. And the sanction is hard. You have to step down. But what happens if you have a dishonest legislature doing this? What happens if you have a corrupt legislature doing this, trying to take out a non-corrupt, honest justice who is trying to put an end to corruption? That's what's happening right now. The way to do it is they are both heavyweights, and the governor's the third heavyweight. They're all in the ring together. They're all in the ring together. One doesn't just walk up to the other and hit him in the face. That's not in the law. They are all supposed to work together. But when one of them does do it, the legislature, they are not superior to the Supreme Court. They are not superior to the Supreme Court. And when that happens, the Supreme Court is in its rights to go back and say, you have a very restricted impeachment right, very rare, not at all like the federal one. And it limits you to two things. You have 10 days to send us a brief, and unfortunately, they'll use taxpayer money again and pay high-priced Republican lawyers, but they're going to do, you know, they've been doing this with Gableman and everything else. You have 10 days to set out in a brief the crime that Janet Protasiewicz has committed. By the way, you go on CCAP, there's no crime. Number two, you have 10 days in that brief to show what corruption in office was committed by Janet Protasiewicz. There is none. She's done nothing, good or bad, in office. She's read the briefs. That's good. She's done her job. The best they could say, if they say we're not going to tell you, that is an illegality in and of itself. They've disobeyed the court's order. They have to obey the court's order. They're heavyweights, equal heavyweights. They got to obey the court's order. And then Janet just says, well, we're staying on the bench. But they're going to come through and say she should recuse herself because of comments she made in her campaign. We'll take a look at it. What she said during the campaign was that she believed the maps are rigged, but she will give it a fair hearing. They can put their briefs in and all that, but it's certainly on the surface. That's what it looks like to her. It's also what it looks like to me and everybody in the state. Also, they will say, there's a 2017 Supreme Court opinion that says she's the only one to decide if she should recuse herself. Gableman didn't recuse himself. Rebecca Grassl Bradley, who has also said the maps look great to her, isn't recusing herself. Janet Protasiewicz can decide. But then if they say, well, that is corruption in office, well, number one, it wasn't when she was in office. And number two, it's not corruption because the Wisconsin Judicial Commission just cleared her. Remember the other day? The Wisconsin Judicial Commission just cleared her after the Republicans brought a complaint. If then they go ahead and say, well, no, we're going to impeach her anyway, an injunction must be issued against the legislature, stopping them from doing that, and including the clerk. And a declaratory judgment must be issued stating that Janet Protasiewicz may not be impeached on the grounds that they have set out because it's unconstitutional. If they disobey her, the clerk, who will be enjoined from publishing it, should be held in contempt. Voss should be held in contempt. And the leadership in the Republican Party should be held in contempt. That's what's got to happen. Let's just get down to this and ducks and bunnies. Enough of this stuff. Well, oh, well, you know, people have got to look at the reason behind this Wisconsin statute, its limited availability, and what the remedy is to stop an illegal, corrupt legislature, a gerrymandered legislature, from trying to perpetuate itself in office. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Russian media report North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un has arrived in far northeast Russia, expected to talk arms there with Russian leader Putin. Washington keeping a close eye, State Department spokesman Matthew Miller.
We're going to monitor very closely the outcome of this meeting. I will remind both countries that any transfer of arms from North Korea to Russia would be in violation of multiple United Nations Security Council resolutions.
The Biden administration is reported close to a deal for the release of five American citizens from Iran.
In the coming weeks, the U.S. will also swap five Iranian prisoners held in U.S. custody for the five Americans that the U.S. government considers wrongfully detained by Iran.
Correspondent Margaret Brennan, looking back 22 years on September 11th, the worst terrorist attack on U.S. soil.
Just last week, the remains of two more victims were finally identified.
But 1,100 other families are still waiting for that closure.
Correspondent Nancy Cordes, CBS News Brief. I'm Tom Foti.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Fritos, Cheetos, Doritos. We should expect that stuff to be safe. Why does it make sense that corporations can poison the American people and we don't even know about? Politically, there is a group who chooses to make sure that there are not enough dollars put into the Food and Drug Administration to check on these types of things.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about 5 minutes.
It was like a
week.
Whoever was excited, and then they moved on.
Well, it was like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this. Willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We go right to the lines. Joe of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind today, Joe.
Terrific analysis, and I really, really appreciate it, Matt. I had some questions, three in total, as I go through the outline that you have stated how this might work. So basically, the legislature says we're going to impeach Senate Pro Tasiewicz, okay? So is it true then that they have you? Can they just vote right away? We're gonna do this. You were speaking of the fact that they need to set out in a brief, and there is 10 days attached to this. Where does that brief go? Is it presented to the whole of the assembly, or does it go to the Supreme Court? I was confused about that. So that was one question I had. The second was you come into the situation of saying that there are two points that you could be impeached upon with Wisconsin state law, constitutional law, and it says either a crime, and as you said, you could look at CCAP, there's no evidence of a crime. How about in the situation of corruption, though? Does she have to be convicted of corruption, or can it just be Voss's allegation that she is corrupt, or the legislature's assembly's allegation that she is corrupt? What is the evidence of corruption that would be, need to be, how is it delivered, to, I guess, to the Assembly? And then the next question I would have is, how did this go? Does the Assembly just say, we're voting on an impeachment, and we've just passed out what the charges are to the whole of the Assembly, and we're voting up or down right now? Can they do that, or is there time delays, or what are the procedures that have to go through? And I guess the reason why, many reasons why that's important, but one reason why that's important important is then how does that go? Because I would imagine that whatever lawsuits that are maybe filed against this would need to be addressing exactly what is in their documents or what in their charges and how it's presented. And so where are the timelines and how does that go? Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? Can they just start tomorrow and say we're impeaching her, period, and we aren't even sending out any information? It's in a piece of paper and that's enough. Can you expand a little bit on that, Matt? And I really, really appreciate your detail and your thoughts on how this might go and how people may challenge this. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Sure. No, excellent, excellent questions. I'll hit them all in order. And the first question was this brief, who does it go to? How's it going to be prepared and who's going to decide and who's going to go to? Secondly, on the crime, you look at CCAP, there's no crime. So does it have to be a conviction, a criminal conviction? And then third one would be the timing and the procedure. In other words, can the Assembly just rush right in tomorrow and do it? Is it too late and all that? And the answer is in Wisconsin civil procedure, there is a provision for a thing called a declaratory judgment. There's a thing called a injunction, and then also a temporary restraining order or preliminary injunction. Now, the way this would work is that somebody would start a lawsuit asking for a declaratory judgment, and it would be somebody who thought that Janet Protasiewicz should not be impeached. In other words, some good government group, and who would have standing, and they would say, we're taxpayers, we're voters, and she should not be impeached. I voted for her, et cetera. And we would like a declaratory judgment, and we would like a temporary restraining order stopping them, preliminary injunction, and then a permanent injunction prohibiting them. Now, under the law, you have to have a case or controversy, which means you can't just do this out of the blue. But if injury is imminent, if a tort or a crime is imminent, if an unconstitutional or illegal act is imminent, and you can show that, you can ask for this relief. This is what's called equitable relief. It's not damages, it's equitable relief. It's an injunction, declaratory judgment. And here it is imminent. Every day I pick up the paper and it says they're moving forward. More and more of their leadership are saying they're going to do it. You do not have to wait for the actual impeachment. So that lawsuit should be filed right away. Now, normally it would go to a circuit court. Then it goes to the Court of Appeals, then the Supreme Court, and everybody yawns because that would take a year. You can ask in the pleading, in the complaint, for the declaratory judgment and the temporary restraint order and preliminary injunction, that the Supreme Court take original jurisdiction. In other words, it goes right to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court can do that. It doesn't do it often. Obviously, it doesn't want to be clogged up with trial work. But there's nothing more suitable for original jurisdiction than people's trying to take out one of seven justices. I can't think of anything more important for original jurisdiction. They would take original jurisdiction. It would at least be a 4-3 vote. And if Hagedorn, I think, stood by his values, it would be a 5-2 vote. Then they function as the court of first resort, as well as the court of last resort. They are the trial court in that sense, even though there's not going to be a trial. They can issue any order they want. They should issue an order giving the legislature a very brief period of time, 10 days. If the legislature wants 30 days, fine. And the allegation has been made in this complaint by this good government group, hypothetically, that there are people in the legislature, perhaps a majority, who will impeach her for a corrupt purpose because she's committed no crime and she's not had any corrupt acts in office. And it's further alleged that they're in cahoots with the state Senate, which is also corrupt, and then gerrymandered, and they're going to sit on it like they did with Fred Pren, just to keep her off the court. And they can further say the injury is the abortion case, redistricting, Megan Wolf, and a lot of other things. That's why they are doing it. If the Supreme Court accepts what I'm saying, they will send an order saying a briefing schedule. Legislature, you have 30 days, 10 days, whatever, to respond to this. In the meantime, we're issuing a temporary restraining order. A temporary restraining order has all of the force of an injunction, but it's temporary. But pending your brief and pending our further decision, you are forbidden to go forward with an impeachment, and you, clerk, are forbidden because you want to get your hooks in somebody who's not elected. You are forbidden from publishing it or in any respect taking action to support it. Who are they going to appeal to? A temporary restraining order is immediately appealable in the law. But there's no higher court than the Wisconsin Supreme Court other than the U.S. Supreme Court. And they are limited in their jurisdiction to federal issues. They may not interfere with the state issue. This is a purely state issue. It's a construction of a statute giving impeachment right to our legislature. They will write a brief. This brief will come in 10 days, 30 days, whatever the author, the deadline is. And then the other side usually would have a 15-day response period. That would be the good government group. And they will say, we repeat, pursuant to the affidavit we put in with our complaint, here's our CCAP printout. She has no crime. And she has committed no corrupt acts in office. And Joe, you asked, does it have to be a conviction of corruption? No, it doesn't. And normally, politically, if you had more even legislatures, nobody is going to go after somebody for corruption in office unless they actually are very corrupt, took money, maybe were convicted or now been indicted and so on. You remember that McCarthy and these people say, well, we're not going to do anything with Trump unless he's actually, or anybody that they want to remove unless he's actually convicted. But here you have a corrupt legislature that's gerrymandered, and they're not going to wait for that. So you say, what is the corruption? And they'll say, we don't have to have a conviction. You'll say, right, you don't. What is it, though? Well, she hasn't done anything in office. Well, that's true. Well, she said some things in the campaign. Well, the Wisconsin Judicial Commission exonerated her, and number one. Number two, under the Supreme Court decision in 2017, she alone has to decide on recusal. Recusal is different from impeachment. Recusal is different from impeachment. Impeachment is very serious because under our impeachment laws, you can be throw them out right away before they're even convicted, unlike federal impeachment. But that harsh result has very, very harsh circumscribed requirements. And those are, you can only do it for two things, not a whole ton of things. And she has done neither. Then they might give oral argument, and Janet will sit on that oral argument. All seven of them will sit on it. And some Republican lawyer being paid by your tax dollars will get up on his hind legs, and he will sniff the air, and he will say in court, blah, blah, blah. And then whoever represents the good government group will say, blah, blah, blah. The Supreme Court will ask questions. I've appeared before the Supreme, not this one, but the Wisconsin Supreme Court prior justices many times, and the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, and the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals in Cincinnati, and federal courts and state courts around the country. They ask questions. They interrupt you. They're not even polite. They don't have to ask your permission. They cut you right off. And then, wait a minute, what about this? Then they'll issue a decision. They'll go into chambers. And the TRO, the temporary restraining order, is still in effect. She can't be impeached. They'll sit in there. Four of the seven will say this is an illegal impeachment. This is a very, very severe impeachment power to remove somebody before conviction, but its corresponding obligation is that it's only two things. Now, I know that Annette Ziegler and Rebecca Grassl Bradley will do the Republican Party's bidding. What about Brian Hagedorn? I don't know. Brian Hagedorn is a Republican, but he did the right thing in certifying Biden and standing up to Trump, and he took a lot of grief. I don't know. But it's very possible he would say, no, she can't be impeached. But even if he didn't, it's 4-3. They'd issue an opinion. They say that we grant the relief requested, the declaratory judgment. We declare that on the facts as presented by the legislature, absent a crime or corruption in office, she can't be impeached. We enter a permanent injunction that there not be proceedings of impeachment based on crime, in this particular case, there was none, or based on corruption in office. Obviously, in the future, if they come up with a different corruption in office, fine. But it's got to be actual corruption in office, not a decision they don't like. So, Joe, that's the way it would work. And I think, quite frankly, people say it's aggressive. I say, what do you mean? You don't think what Voss is doing is aggressive? What Trump's, what all these people do is aggressive? They are simply doing the appearance of law in a Putin fashion. Yeah, there's a trial in Moscow. There's an appeal in Moscow. There's an election. Oh, yeah, all this stuff. It's a fake. It's a fake. Voss is a fake. LeMahieu is a fake. This is all designed so that she will not vote on redistricting, on abortion, on Megan Wolf, and anything that threatens their power, their corrupt power. It's a fake. We don't have to put up with a fake. We do not have to put up with a fake. So the way we handle it is in our legal system, which is a complaint is filed. It's a good government group of some sort or people out of standing. And they ask for declaratory judgment, temporary restraining order, preliminary and permanent injunction, barring the legislature and its clerk from proceeding with impeachment against Janet Protasiewicz right now based on crime or based on corruption in office. And that is about as direct as I can be. That remedy exists. I've tried a number of these injunction, TROs, preliminary injunction, declaratory judgment statutes, statutory cases. And you do not have to wait for the injury. You do not have to wait for them to sink the knife in you before you ask for an injunction and declaratory judgment that they shouldn't sink a knife into you. If it is imminent. And that's a decision that the judge makes, not the legislature. And anybody fairly looking at this, and I'm fairly looking at this, anybody fairly looking at this will say it's imminent. How many times do you have to read it in the paper, listen to it on the radio, watch it on TV, listen to one of these people shoot his mouth off? They are doing it because they are gerrymandered and they want to stay gerrymandered, and they are doing a fake process. And in America, you don't do a fake process. In Moscow, you do a fake process. In America, you do not do a fake process. Go to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry, Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 50. North winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. More clouds than sun again tomorrow. Highs level off around 67. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows level off around 46. Mid-60s Wednesday with a chance for scattered showers. Upper 60s Thursday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, let me shift to a different court. An astounding revelation has just come out. Remember back in 2010, Citizens United was issued that basically said that anybody could give as much money as they wanted in secret. It could be corporations, it could be anybody. And I'm overstating it a little bit, but not a lot. Corporations give money. People can give money, not say who's giving it to them, pumping it into the Republican Party. 2010, 5-4 decision. Clarence Thomas cast the deciding vote. 2010. It just came out that his wife, Ginny Thomas, 2 months before that decision came out, laid the groundwork for a nonprofit along with Leonard Leo, who's now the Federalist Society guy, with $500,000 seed money from Harlan Crow, who's given a lot of money to Clarence Thomas and his wife over the years. It was the start of a billion-dollar network that moved money into conservative caucuses and took advantage of Citizens United. But wait. I just said Citizens United didn't come out till 2 months later. How did they know to set something up? How did Harlan Crow know that, well, what the hell? I'm going to put in $500,000 to take advantage of a decision that hadn't come out. Supreme Court decisions are supposed to be confidential. The point was, the Clarence Thomas obviously told his wife, and perhaps told Harlan Crow and Leonard Leo himself, or had her tell him, hey, there's a really terrific decision coming out in 2 months. We can do a lot of this stuff that's presently illegal. Let's get it started. Citizens United is an illegitimate decision. Citizens United is a corrupt decision. Clarence Thomas and his wife have been taking a lot of money, not a little money, a lot of money, from Harlan Crow and other billionaires now for a long, long time. And everything, every social objective, and every, and frankly, taxation and any other kind of objective that this right-wing group a billionaire donors wants, this guy Clarence Thomas has voted for. He voted in Shelby County to gut the Voting Rights Act, which is why we have gerrymandering in a lot of places in the South, why we have laws in Texas, laws in Florida, laws elsewhere, criminalizing voting for good faith mistakes. Stupid laws like in Texas, where if you quote block the view of the voter from one of the thugs that they now permit to be in there as election observers, that is a crime. If a woman's 8 months pregnant and standing in line to vote for 5 hours in the sun in Georgia and you hand her a bottle of water because she's faint, that's a criminal offense. So he did Shelby County. He did Citizens United 5-4. These are all 5-4. He's the guy, swing guy. He did Dobbs. Getting rid of Roe v. Wade was 5-4. He did Dobbs. What do you do when you have a corrupt justice, at least one corrupt justice? Several of them have taken money. He's not the only one up there, and his wife's taking money. What do you do if you have a corrupt justice who is relying on the sterling reputation of a Supreme Court that's 200 years old to get everybody to obey him when the fix is in? The game was rigged. The umps were bribed. How does that change? He's been in 30 years and he's only in his early 70s. He'll be in 20 more years. This is what's happening. And then you take a look at Dobbs, and the inside word was that Kavanaugh was starting to listen to Rogers and say, okay, I'll uphold the 15-week ban in Mississippi, but I won't get rid of Roe v. Wade. But he'd already signed on to it in the draft, and suddenly it got leaked. Alito, before that, had leaked the Hobby Lobby case, Hobby Lobby preliminary decision to a right-wing donor of the Republican Party. That's not disputed. They did it to squeeze Kavanaugh so he couldn't change his mind. We have a corrupt Supreme Court. We have six tarantulas. But we don't want to lose the reputation of the Supreme Court, which is built over 200 years, because we do need a Supreme Court to decide difficult things in the future. That's the challenge that's facing us. Go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Wisco Paul.
Well, thanks for your show today, Matt. As always, very informative. These rulings by Clarence Thomas have actually changed history and elections. That's a pretty serious deal, in my opinion. Is that correct? It probably has effects for conservatives winning power with these rulings. Thanks for taking my call.
Right. There's no question. And if you take a look at all of these cases and the composition, there's one thing that people will say, if you want to really dig down and look at all the details. There are wealthy Democrats, and so what's happened is you have a flood of dark money coming into both parties. And the fact of the matter is that that has corrupted our country's politics badly. Yes, it has given an edge to the Republicans, because in the aggregate, they have an enormous amount of money, but there are Democratic billionaires. The problem is when they make early selections, whoever they select in a primary, that's the ballgame. And who appointed them to be God? Who appointed them to decide what's best? That's why you want democracy. You want millions of little decisions made by average people. That's what produces the best leaders. I mean, Abraham Lincoln never would have gotten nominated even in this kind of a situation. So you're absolutely right. It was very corrupt, and this is what happened. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show, as always. Some great callers. But the Janet Protasiewicz impeachment is top of the importance in this list. And I really want to see Evers call Baldwin and Godlewski stand together in a press conference and say that this is a corrupt impeachment and we're not going to stand for it. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Great show.
Paid for by government.com.
The 1878 to 1921 Morgan Silver Dollar, a true American classic and one of the most iconic silver dollar coins in history. It's been 100 years since the last Morgan Silver Dollar coin was struck for circulation. And now, for a limited time only, full pound bags of original U.S. government struck Morgan dollars are being released to the public. That's right. You can own a full pound of 1878 to 1921 classic American Morgan Silver Dollar coins, all in very good collector condition with fully visible dates and mint marks guaranteed. Call 1-800-859-1538 now to secure collector-grade U.S. Morgan Silver dollars by the pound, struck during the Wild West and the Gilded Age. Plus, receive a bonus American Collector's Pack valued at over $25 free with every order. Call 1-800-859-1538 now to secure your full pound bag of Morgan Silver dollar coins before they are gone. 1-800-859-1538. That's 1-800-859-1538.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media